God, I appreciate your prayers. Thinking some about the examples in the Bible of these of great men and women of the Bible that we admire, look at as encouraging to us that God worked with them. To think that God Almighty would pay that much attention to these men, we think of God looking down on Noah and Noah finding favor in his sight. Then Abraham, God paid special attention to Abraham and Sarah. Then there was Joseph that God gave special abilities and insights. It was Moses that God blessed with special gifting and power, if you will, Joshua, and down through the kings and Apostle Peter and Paul. And we can look at them sometimes and think that they were special somehow. But I want to encourage us that they wasn't any different than we are. And that we have been given the great privilege of being able to access the great God of heaven. We can have what they had. We can have the power, the wisdom, the understandings. We can have God working and dealing in our lives on a daily, regular, daily basis to help us with life, to help us with decisions that we make, and can help us to be able to be successful in changing our own hearts and lives. The greatest challenge that I've had in my life is to be able to change, to see myself and to be able to change that to what God would have it to be. I don't want to be critical or sound critical, but I believe that it's fairly obvious that most people have a problem with seeing themselves. I mean, it's our number one thing. It's really hard to see ourselves willing to see ourselves the way we see others. We're willing to critique others. We're willing to see the weaknesses that they have. And sometimes we even will say, I don't understand. I'm guilty of this. And it's not that I'm not for anybody. I love everybody and want to see everybody prosper. I'm saying it from a simple understanding point. I don't understand why they don't see themselves and want to change from that. It's obvious to me that that is hindering their lives. It's obvious that that's not the best way for them to live. But why don't they see that and want to change that? I look at that sometimes. But I want us all to individually think about it this way today, that God has given us the great privilege, and He's offering, I think, today for us to come unto Him. I think He's offering still for us to a share of His wisdom and understanding and knowledge about life and about ourselves and about the choices that we make. He has made Himself very available to us. I'd like to start with Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. And I want to get the setting of this, because I think it's important. This is 10th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is in the time where the children of Israel had been disobedient to the Lord. They had run to idolatry and many things that God was displeased with. And God then was about to deal with them. And God is a loving God. But God was about to deal harshly with them. He's about to allow them to be carried away in captivity, I believe. God is getting ready to move on them for their disobedience. And it says in the 23rd verse of this chapter, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The whole Bible is true, of course, but there is obvious truths of Scripture. There is Scriptures that stick out to you, that you can say, this Scripture is true, of course, because it's Bible, but it's a little, there's a little ambiguity in it. I don't understand it totally. It's not clear to me. This isn't one of them. This is an obvious Scripture, like the Scripture that says God is not mocked. That's an obvious Scripture to me. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a clear visual Scripture to us. We understand that totally. This is another one. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in us. Do you realize that today? That it's not in us? The way of man is not in us. Without God, we are failures. Without God helping us, we will not see it right. Without the influence of His Spirit, we will not go right. We see things wrong. We analyze them wrong. Our vision is poor. Our wisdom is lacking. Our understanding is lacking. It's not within man that walketh, He says. It's not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. So let's accept that today as a very obvious truth. So where are you going to apply it? I'm very much an application person. I don't like the generalizations. I'm not real smart. And so I need application. I need for it to say more than the generalization. I want something specific. It's not within man to walk it, to direct his own step. Where can I direct my own steps? I've seen the times I've said to my wife before, I think, we'll go down and check the mail. And go down and check the mail. So I directed my own steps. That's how I did it. Well, that's not what he's talking about. I can do some things naturally. I can decide to clean up or do things around the house. I can decide to direct that. That's not what he's talking about. It's not within man that walketh to direct his own spiritual path. To make things better. He can't do it. It's not within him to have understandings of these things. So I have some applications for us. It's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. You know, there's decisions and things that we need to know about that we can't know by ourselves. But we encourage us today that God has made himself accessible. God wants a relationship with He wanted a relationship with Adam and Eve and Noah, and he wanted a relationship with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Gideon and Joshua. Yeah, sure. He wanted a relationship with all them people, but God wants a relationship just as much with you. He wants to guide your life today. He wants to guide your life. God wants, as I saying, will you let me guide your life? You need God to guide your life? It's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. And yet God is wanting to help each one of us. I'm thinking about Brother Jim one time. He started the meeting in Louisiana was in July. It's over the 4th of July weekend. So way back in springtime, Brother Jim started saying to me, I'd like to go to Louisiana with you to that camp meeting. Haven't been down there. I'd like to go down there. Brother Jim, I'd love for you to go down there with us. He kept saying that. I'd love to go. He kept saying that over the time. Praying about it. Going to go to Louisiana with you. Going to go to Louisiana with you. Got up to the time. We're about ready to go to Louisiana. I said to Brother Jim, you about ready? It's about time. And Brother Jim ends up coming and saying, like 2 days before the meeting, before we was leaving, he comes and says, I'm not going to Louisiana with you. Well, Brother Jim, why not? We've been planning this and talking about it, He said, because the Lord won't let me go. I prayed and prayed, and the Lord keeps checking me. He won't let me feel good about going. He didn't give any reason why. He just said, the Lord won't clear me to go. Well, I remember thinking, that's a little iffy there. That's what our human mind is. You know, we got down to Louisiana. Brother Jim didn't go with us because the Lord didn't clear him. We got down to Louisiana and we no more than got there. And we got a phone call that said Brother Jim's sister passed away. Now, if he'd have been with me, I'd have drove into the campground basically and turned around and drove back to bring him back. And I remember thinking when I heard that, I sure am thankful that Brother Jim was willing to say, Lord, it's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. I don't know whether I should go down there or not. I like to go. It sounds good to me. But Lord of the universe, Lord God Almighty that sees all things, should I go? No, you shouldn't go. I don't want, you know, there's applications in our life. Everywhere in our lives there's applications that we can seek God. God wants us to put Him in the details of our life. God wants to be the when we start adding up decisions, you know, our first thing that you want to write it down, a column you're going to add up? The first thing ought to be God. It's the very first of it. God's will. First thing. That ought to be the first thing that we put in. What is God's will concerning this? I don't know how to do the things around about. I think sometimes I do. I know how to do some mundane things. I know how to do some natural things. But when it comes into these kind of things, I don't know what is best about things. And if you're ever one that runs up against it, and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to respond to something, you know, God has given us access to His wisdom, to His understanding, to in a personal relationship to where we can say to the Lord, Lord, I'm up against the wall here. I'm up against something that I don't know how to do. We need You. Now, God told Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. You're going to go into the land that I promised you, and I'm going to go with you. And He said, if you'll follow and obey me, this is my own words, your enemy will never see your back. You'll never run from your enemy. And so they go in and they run up against the great walled cities of Jericho. How you want to tear a wall down? You know how to tear the walls down? Well, you could beat your head against that wall for years and not get it to come down. You could do all kinds of things to conquer that thing. You know, the Lord's got a plan and got a way of dealing with things. God's got a way of removing walls around your life. God's got a way of dealing with the people in your life. You know, sometimes there's walls in people. Sometimes there's walls that you don't know how to break down in relationships. There's problems in those kind of things. And I know how to handle it. I know how to use my manipulative powers to do that. I know how to make my wife feel guilty about something or make her feel bad. Or I know how to do this relationship thing that us humans are so good at doing. Well, we forget that. Well, just forget that. That's a bad way for a saint of God anyway. That's a bad way. Let's take another approach and go to the one that has made Himself accessible to us. It's not within man to walk. I've never been successful anyway at it. It's not within man to walk or direct his own steps, but God's got a way of helping you and I to be able to do these kind of things in our life. I'm thinking of another, I read this one time. There was a group of people in Chicago, and I don't even know what the time frame of this story was, but there was a group of people in Chicago, and they got a desire that they wanted to be able to reach out the gospel, reach out and touch and help people. They wanted to do it. And so it was mainly run by a pastor and his wife, and mainly the wife. And she was the driving force, and she got the congregation together and got them enthused. They were enthused. She pep rallied them. She was able to get them up by it. You know, we can do that with our emotions. There's a better way than getting yourself stirred all in emotions, though. She did that, got them all going, so they split up and they went out into the streets. And they went out and they dealt and dealt, and at the end of the day they come back. Nothing. They hadn't done nothing. Nobody. They didn't got nobody. Nobody seemed interested. So they did it again. Well, let's do this in a different area. And but they went out and they reached out and they done all this, and they come back all day long, another day. Nothing. No responses, nothing. So the pastor's wife says on the third day, I don't feel good about this. You all go ahead. I'm going to seek the Lord today. So while they're out doing that, this woman starts seeking the Lord. She starts asking God about it. While she's in prayer, she said it very vividly come to her mind, a vision, if you will. She saw a street sign. I think it was Lincoln Street. Lincoln Street. She saw this old apartment building with these stairs going up into it. And she very vividly saw that. When she saw that, she went and got her husband and asked her husband, said, where's Lincoln Street? I said, I don't even know if there's a Lincoln Street in Chicago. So anyway, they got a map out and started looking, and they found Lincoln Street. Right there, Lincoln Street. She said, let's go. Let's go drive Lincoln Street. So she goes, and they're driving Lincoln Street, along Lincoln Street, and all of a sudden she says, right there! Stop! Right there! Right there is it! That's it right there! And she gets out, and they walk up there, and you sure? Yes! The Lord showed me this! They walk up there and knock on the door, no sound, no knocking on the door. Finally, once they're knocking on the door, they heard somebody in there making a noise, Well, they ended up getting help, and they got in there, and there was an elderly woman. She was a Christian woman. An elderly woman had fallen, and she couldn't move. She had laid there for a couple of days, and she was just praying for the Lord to send somebody to help her. To get some help to her. She was doing that. And what a blessing it was for them to go in. And now they knew that there's a God in heaven. There's a God that wants a relationship with you. You want to do something? You want to think, well, what can I do? Well, that's the way we think. What can I do? I have a desire. I want to do something. What can I do? You know, you're better off to doing what the Lord wants you to do than what you think you can do. Because what you think you can do will end up empty all the time. But when God does something, it's not within man that walks and directs his own step. Yeah, we're going to go evangelize the world without God. It doesn't make sense. We need to be in earnest and in touch with God. We have a great privilege today. Wouldn't it, we'd all get a hold of this today. You can be a Moses. You can be a Daniel. You can be a Paul. You can be a Peter. They weren't special men. They were just men that gave themselves over to the leadership of God, that was willing to do what God had him to do. Daniel was willing to throw his window open and pray. Moses was willing to go back to Egypt. Abraham was willing to go into the land that he didn't know where he was going. All these men had something in common. They found the power of God. They weren't men above us. They were only men. And we have the same access. We have the same ability. We have the same right to go to God and for God to help us. Have you ever had the Lord, and you get into a place and you don't know what to do and just have the Lord tell you to be quiet? That's a good answer. But it's only a good answer when you need to be quiet. I'll just don't say nothing. That's a bad way. The Lord might want you to say something to accomplish it. But the Lord come in and many times with relationships of people, if we'll get down and pray, we want to do something, we get down to pray and the Lord will say, stay out of it. You be quiet. Let me deal with their hearts. You get in the way, you're just going to get them all messed up. Or the Lord may say, I want you to do this for them. I want you to bake them a cake. I want you to love them. I want you to be as loving and as sweet. I want sweetness dripping off of you. That you could show them Christ.
That's right.
I got my own ideas about how I'm dealing with people, and they're mostly wrong. You know, there's times that the Lord didn't give us sugary. His words wasn't sugary. There was times that He just flat, straight out, lined it out for them. That's what they needed. He loved them. But how do I know the difference between giving somebody a lot of sugar or sweetness and laying the line down to them? How do I know the difference? I can't. It's not within man to walk and to direct his own steps. How do I know the difference? We have the great privilege of going to the Lord, to God, to inspire us with the right words, to inspire us with the right actions. If Brother Jim can get that leading from the Lord, I can too. Should I go somewhere? Many, many times I've prayed, Lord, I don't know how better to do it. Lead me by desire. Help me to have a strong desire. If there's a meeting that I need to go to, give me a strong desire for it, Lord. Give me a strong desire, passion to go to it. Lord, help us. I want to get another scripture in Nehemiah. Second chapter of Nehemiah. If you not remember the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the one that went to the king and got permission to go rebuild the, remember that? Rebuild the walls and all. Well, this is, I'll pick it up in the 17th verse. It says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. You know, I've seen people get under burdens before, and generally when somebody gets under a burden, they want everybody to have that burden. It's a natural thing to do it, but just because the Lord gives you a burden doesn't mean that it's everybody's burden. You have to realize that. And I've seen people that would, many times that maybe live for the Lord for 40 years seemingly without a burden. And then all of a sudden the Lord inspires on them to do something and they want us looking around wondering why everybody else ain't doing it. Well, I think there ought to be a lot of mercy in that particular line there. Everybody needs something from God for themselves. The best way to do the work of the Lord is with the Lord in it. Now, you want things to be accomplished, the Lord knows how to get them accomplished. So Nehemiah lays down his case about the building of the walls of Jerusalem. It says, then I told them of the hand of my God which was upon me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's a crucial, very crucial thing to have. The hand of God. He said, the hand of my God is upon me. You know, if Nehemiah had the hand of his God upon him, then why can't I have the hand of my God upon me? Why can't you? Is God so willing to put his hand upon Nehemiah and not his servants of today? We need the hand of God upon us. You know, people will be moved. They'll be impressed. The will of God will be done if you got the hand of God on you. The first thing we ought to do is to make sure that the hand of God upon us. It's our responsibility. Lord, is this a pleasing? Lord, is your hand in this? I can go try to do all kinds of things and not be successful. But if the hand of the Lord is upon it. I remember one time out in Webb City, Missouri. Linda and I was out there. We was having a tent meeting. We've done this a number of times. I appreciate anybody that has a desire to do it. But this is what I've noticed in my working for the Lord. I've noticed that sometimes people just go along because the crowd's going. And I guess that's all right in a way. But what I noticed was that a lot of times people would go and they didn't have a burden. They didn't care. They had no inspiration on them. And so they was out handing out these flyers and invitations to our tent meeting. And I'm not sure that that was just being represented real well, the way it was being done. So this particular time, we felt like the Lord had helped us to just tell everybody, listen, this is not a mandatory. This is for, if you've got the heart to work for God, if you've got the inspiration and the heart to work for God and to reach out, show up at 3 o'clock and we're going to get together and we're going to go out in teams and we're going to go out and hand out some flyers, invite people. We want more than just hand them a flyer. We want to be able to talk to them, reach out to them. Anyway, we did that, and a number of good faithful ones come out to work for the Lord, and we hit the Webb City area. And you know, I noticed something. We went out, Lynn and I went out, and I'm telling you, it was like everyone we talked to for a little while, it was like the Spirit of the Lord was just moving. Every house I went to almost was wanting a conversation about Jesus. I mean, we were just handing that going, and it was just, you could feel the motion, and we run out of flyers. And we went back to get more flyers, and you know, I could tell it was done. It was over. It was over. We went back out and tried, and it was just as dead as it could be. My point is this. If God isn't moving, if God doesn't move on it, if it isn't God working, there's nothing you can do. So, prayer is so important. Being in tune with God is so important. I can spend all my days in a section of Webb City, completely out of sync of God, or I can ask God where to put me, and be totally in sync, and have some. God wants us to have the relationship to where He can lead us and talk to us and help us and move us in our words and our deeds, what we're doing, our actions. He did it in others. Surely He'll do it for us now. Yes. We're not in an inferior time. We're in a better time. We're given the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to lead and guide us into all truth, to lead us into what we should be doing. God wants to work with us that way and help us that way. God can maneuver and work. And when you have the hand of God upon you, when you know the hand of God is upon me, oh, there's a difference to be made. We was at home one time. We'd been traveling. We traveled quite extensively that year. And we had also planned, that was the first time I think we come up, Brother Jeff's up there, we went up there. We'd already had that plan to go, and so we was already off a trip, and we was planned to go up to Brother Jeff's, and we knew that that there was a couple meetings right there. One was Holly Hill, one was Dallas, and Dallas was one we went to and all, and it was right there. And so finally, Linda and I said, we're not going any trips between those two. We're going to go home, take care of duties. We're going to take care of things. And I think Linda said it more forcibly than I did. I can't imagine going on any other trips or anything. And then I got a phone call from Brother Darrell. He's a pastor in Dallas. And he calls up, and we go through the normal how you do's. And the first thing he says is, Brother Marty, are you coming to our meeting? And I said, no, I'm not coming. Now, Brother Marty, you answered too quick. And he went on and started talking, and he didn't say any more than he wanted to cut. And as we talked about this, God started working in my heart. God started changing. I couldn't imagine leaving. The flesh didn't want to go. I already said I wasn't going. And something started changing and changing. You know, and he wasn't telling me anything other than just conversation. And finally I say to Brother Darrell, can I retract what I said to start with? Yeah, you sure can. Well, I said, let me pray about it, and then I'll get back with you about coming. I get off the phone. And I looked at Linda and said, honey, I think we're going to Dallas. And I was waiting for the response. And she says, praise the Lord. That was witness number one. God witnessed to me, he's witnessed to her. Two. I walked from the bedroom into the bathroom, and the Lord told me what the meeting should be about. I'm telling you, he boomed it in. They need to grow up. They need to mature. Maturity. He just banged it on me. I'm going to tell you, I said, Lord, is that it? Maturity. Scripture started coming. Minutes. I mean minutes. My whole thing changed in minutes. God's hand. God's hand is what we need. We don't need to try to do it by ourselves. You'll never do anything by yourself. God works in our lives. God wants a relationship to where He can say, Son, be quiet. Son, go. Son, bring this out. Daughter, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is what the Lord wants, a relationship with us. So it's personal, folks. It's always personal. This is a group that comes together with personal relationship, each individual for themselves. God wants to have an individual relationship with each and every one of us that He leads and guides and works in our lives and wants to do those. He wants to lead us to people that are in need. He wants us to get to the place that He can lead us into those kind of places. I've seen the Lord do it time and time again. He wants to lead into that. I want to tell you, we went to Dallas. And I'm going to tell you, I went to Dallas with an assurance. I'm going to tell you, I could get up and preach at Dallas with boldness. The Lord already told me what I was supposed to say. I knew what they needed. I knew what the Lord was doing. The Lord doesn't always do it all together that way. But the Lord can do it that way. The days of miracles aren't past, folks. God works in our lives that people can see the hand of God. To be honest with you, you don't want to see Marty anyway. You want to see God. You want to see the hand of God. You don't want my words. You want God's words. You want to know what God's feeling in heaven right now about you. What message He wants to get to you. I feel like it is. And He wants to say, I have opened up to you the opportunity to approach me about understandings, wisdoms, what to do, how to do it, where to go, where you should live, what your occupation should be, what you ought to do in life, who you ought to approach, where you ought to go, all those kind of things. There is things that God doesn't have to deal specifically with. We know we're to love one another. He shouldn't have to deal with that one. We already know those kind of things. But I love Him, but how do I respond? Love's got many facets to it, doesn't it? How do I respond? If I love my children, I'll chastise them. Is that true? But it can't always be chastisement. So I need to know. And Lord, I don't know how to walk. Walking's important, though. See, the idea in that scripture was that they walk. That means that they're willing. They're wanting to go. They're wanting to do it. But it's not in him to direct his own path and when he walks. But the Lord wants to help us be able to do that. Amen. We went down to Dallas anyway, and I want to tell you, I just felt like that it was altogether different because, as this scripture says, and I told them of the hand of my God which was up upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for his good work. You know what? When God's in it, you can count on it. You don't have to wonder when God's in it. When God's in it, you can step out and do it. By faith, you can step out and say, Lord, it's going to work. It doesn't look like it. It looks impossible many times. You'll have scoffers scoff. You'll have people give advice. You'll have people meaning well giving advice. When I first started preaching, I'd preached a couple years. I'm going to tell you my experience. I'd preached a couple years. And I felt like that the Lord was putting His hand on me to go full-time into ministry. And it was scary. It was the unknown to some degrees. You know what I'm saying? It was unknown. But the Lord knows how to work with each individual. God knew I needed something. Well, I'd went to a singing. I'd been doing services here a little. And went to the singing in Alabama. They have a yearly singing down there. I went down to the singing. And generally it's just singing. And then on Sunday morning they have a minister that's there generally. And they'll have service. And then I think it ends on after that. And I went down there with no idea of ministering. Didn't plan to minister. I'd never ministered away from home. And just went down there for the singing. And got down there and... the pastor down there, they was telling me that Brother Madden was supposed to come. He was going to be there and going to be there for Sunday morning service and all that. So I was free to just enjoy that. Didn't have to do anything. I was just free to do it. Never thought about ministering or anything like that until finally up Saturday night, the pastor comes to me and says, Brother Marty, Brother Madden's not coming. You know. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you're the only minister here. And I was under the gun then. So I started praying. Lord, what would you? I don't have anything. What do you want me to do? You know, the Lord loves us. The Lord's good to us. You know, ministering ain't what you think it is. I mean, unless you think it's right. I mean, what? But honestly, it's God doing it. Okay. When it's done right, it's God. Works. He gives gifts. The gifts work. That's what it is. God was saying to me, "You got a gift." I had done a Bible study, I think, here. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord is so good. I'd done a Bible study here some weeks before. And when I said, Lord, what am I going to do? The Lord said, I want you to do that as a message. And I was sitting there thinking, I wish I'd have kept the notes on that. It would have been just easier. I didn't have study stuff there, nothing like that. If I had the notes, it would have been easier. And I just thought, if I didn't have the notes on that. And I thought, well, I know where the first scripture is at. It was in 1 Samuel. It was David and Goliath. So it was 1 Samuel 17. And I opened up my Bible, and guess what was there? My notes for that was there. I thought they were long gone. They were right there. I started looking at that. The Lord started inspiring. The Lord blessed. And the Lord blessed the service. I'm just telling you the way the Lord works. The hand of the Lord is what's prosperous. It's not us wishing, desiring. It's not our wanting to do it. It's God working in it. We have a responsibility, but it isn't running to try to do the work. Our responsibility is to be in tune with God. You want it to work for you? In whatever your situation is, ask God about it. Let the Lord lead that. Well, I thought we had a great example here over the years. Brother Sammons was such an example of that over the years. Brother Sammons was one when trouble would arise, would say, we can pray our way through it. Well, many people would say, we need to. Brother Sammons would say, we need to pray. We need to allow God to work in this place. We need God to work in it. Well, I ministered that day in Alabama, and I felt such a special anointing on me and witness. This is what I want you to do. First time I ever did, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be out full time in the work of the Lord. I ain't saying I'm anything. If the Lord don't continue to give, there's nothing to be got. It's God that blesses and anoints and rich, and it's our responsibility to stay there with the hand of my God upon me. If I was to come to you and say, would you all join in me with an effort to go and do something, I would expect the first thing for you to ask is God in it? You know, it'd be pretty silly to follow me anywhere until you find out God's in it. What Nehemiah was able to say to the people that moved them was that the hand of God is on me. This is what God is doing. When I can see the hand of God in it, I can be assured I can go that way too. I can give my life. I can give my life literally if God's hand's in it. Because that is the best way. That is what God wants out of our lives. God's a good God. And He desires good things in our lives. Sometimes there's a question that arises. I don't know if you've ever had it, but I've had them a number of times. The question is, should I or shouldn't I? I don't know. I don't know what I should do. Some people say this. Sometimes I just want to stay between the doing and not doing. I don't know. And God wants to say to us today, I do know. And if you'll come and entreat me, I will let you know whether you should or you shouldn't. I will lead and guide you in life. I'll help you with the decisions of your life. I'll help you to know how to do it. I think the Lord can help it be successful when we give it to Him when we don't even fully understand it. It's just that God knows. He'll say, get out of the way. Or be quiet. Or speak a kind word. Send a card. Do you know how many times just a card, a note, a few words from a person that had the hand of God on them lit my life back. It lit my day back up. Just a simple few words that says, we're praying for you, brother. We know you're in a hard time. We're praying for you. And take such courage by just a few words that God anointed. That God said I was there. All those things that just keeps, it comes over me over and over in trials of my life. Then there's God. Do you know how much that encourages me in the middle? Just to remember, then there's God. God of the universe, the creator of all. God that can do anything. Yes, there, it looks bad, it looks dark. Can't always see the light at the end of the tunnel, but then there's God. The God that makes a difference in it all. God's got a way of being able to lead and guide us. I want to entreat us today to make God the number one thing on our list. Lord, what is my role? You have a role. Every one of you here today has a role. That is going to be the most fulfilling thing you ever do. You have a role. You have the accessible place to be able to find out the information. I would say that we do it regularly. We don't have the internet at home, but it is full of information. And there are times that I'll say, I wonder how that works. And I'll get on the phone, I'll call my son, and say, hey Marty, would you mind looking up da-da-da and see how that works? My Seth, he ain't here, but he got a place up there and his furnace wouldn't work. And I'm not a furnace man. I don't know about furnaces. It was a propane furnace. I don't know anything about furnaces, except for this one wasn't working. So I said, do you have a manual? Yeah, there's a manual in here in the drawer. You know how nice manuals are? They're wonderful. I get that manual out, and it has a procedure the way the thing worked on it. And it said there was this little fan on there. And this, when you turn the heater, when you turn it on, that fan has to kick on to get the right amount of air into where the gas is. And the centrifugal force, now I'm just being technical here, but the centrifugal force on that fan, as soon as the fan gets enough centrifugal force, the fan moves forward enough to let a little button pop out. And when that button pops out, it lets the electric go to the glow plugs that lights the furnace. So if that fan don't kick in and start running, it can't let the button out. They can't let the electric go through. They can't light the gas. The gas lights get so hot. When it gets hot enough to light the gas, the thermocoupler, the gas comes in and lights it, and it'll burn as long as that thermocoupler stays. There's a safety thing on it. And that's the way it works. And as soon as I read that, I said, I know what's wrong with this furnace. The fan stuck. Because the fan wouldn't kick on. I didn't even know what the fan was doing. I didn't know it was supposed to. I said, I know what's wrong with that. It makes sense. It's been there a long time sitting there. It's probably dusty and dirty and it's just froze. And I opened it up and said, and took my finger and went, And it just, it was forceful for just a little bit, and then it went free, and I said, fix your furnace. Said, it was wonderful. It was information. Without that information, I could have dumbed around with a lot of stuff. Wasting my time, maybe not fixing it. You know what? It's the same analogy. God's got the right answer to it. It's so simple sometimes. So simple. Brother Jim was sitting in his chair one time. It was about 2 or 3 days. He didn't know where his checkbook was. Brother Jim had got to where he was bad about losing his checkbook. He lost it regularly. And he come and testified to us that he was at his wit's end and over trying to find that checkbook. And he sat down in his chair and he said, Lord, run out of looking for that checkbook. But he said, I know that you know where that checkbook's at. And he said, as soon as this is what he testified to us. He said, the Lord said, look down on the side of the chair. He said, just come to him like, Lord, look, just like Lord said, look down on the side of the chair. He started feeling down in the chair. And there was his checkbook. I knew you knew where that was at, Lord. Lord knows where your checkbook, your keys. And the Lord knows how you should respond to things. God knows how to make things work in your life. God knows how to have strong marriages. Now, it'll be that way if you give it to Him. God knows how the best way for you to influence your neighbor and say, but my neighbors are cantankerous, they're hateful. That's exactly right, and that's why you need God. God knows how to deal and break those people down. It's been proven. There's testimony after testimonies of how God has said to these saints, you mind yourself right here, I'll take care of it. And before long, have those neighbors. I want to say this to the glory of God. And Seth ended up buying the neighbor's property there. But I didn't naturally get along with my neighbors around me when I moved there. For whatever reasons of suspicions or just off this, I had to win my neighbors. And by the grace of God, I've won every one of them. I'm friends with every one of my neighbors around the immediate around them and become close with them. But it costs something to do it. It costs something to do it. I'm going to tell you, with the one neighbor there, it was my fault. We had been, for the years there, we had been friendly at best. Friendly. That was about all it done. We was friendly. And I told one of my son-in-laws one day is that he was jammed in there with my parking. And I said, oh, drive across her yard here. I don't think she'll mind. Drive across that. And she happened to look out and see him going across the corner of your yard. And she was so mad. She called over there, called to the house. She was not. I ended up going over to her house, attempted to apologize to her. I did apologize to her. She's a wonderful woman. And there was some of them going to be a little critical. And I said, no, she's lost her husband. She's under strain. We shouldn't drive in her yard. Don't look at it that way. I understand where she's at. And you know what? I said, I'm going to bless her. I know that her husband mowed the yard. I've never seen her mow her yard. She's got a big yard. And I said, I think it was the Lord. Mowed the yard. And I went over and asked her, and she was, I said, I wonder if you'd do me a favor. Well, she was, I said, see, I got this new mower, and I'm needing exercise, and I wonder if you'd let me mow your yard. Well, then she grinned at that and she said, well, you just have at it and have all the exercise you want. I think for about 5 years I've mowed her yard. Over and over and mowed her yard. Linda would make Christmas treats and take over there to her. And I'm going to tell you, best neighbor you could have. Wonderful friends. Wonderful friends. It took something to do it. How are you going to know how to do it? How are you going to know when to do it and what to do? Yeah, you can say, well, it's always good to do good. But there's more to it than that. There's timing. There's the right time. There's the right thing. You could say, somebody needs to be saved. And you can force it on them. And their time ain't there yet. You know, there's a time that the Lord can make it the very most special time for them to deal, for God to deal in their lives. And you don't know that time. You can. You can know it. God lets you know it. But there is times and things that God wants us to step in at that prime moment. To be the one that makes a difference. How am I going to know? unless I get a close relationship with the Lord, that I am a minute man for the Lord. Lord, I'm ready. You just send me. I'll be right there ready. You just send me. Lord, I want your leadership in my life. Because that's what's going to make the difference. You pray for me.